الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي صدق الله العظيم.
My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, I have chosen to speak on the topic justice in Islam and the harms of oppression. The verse that I have recited is a verse that is common to all of us, and we do hear it every Friday at the end of the second khutbah. It is this particular verse where Mufassirin and the scholars have written, it was the means of Sayyidina Uthman bin Maz'un, Uthman bin Maz'un radiyallahu ta'ala an, embracing Islam. He said, I was quite interested in Islam, but I was overwhelmed by a sense of modesty and shyness. I was feeling a bit afraid and shy to come before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when I heard this verse, he says that iman became entrenched in my heart. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli. Verily Allah commands justice, wal ihsan and kindness, wa ita'i dhil qurba and giving to one's relatives, wa yanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar wal bagh, and Allah prohibits immorality, immodesty, and evil deeds, and transgression. Ulama say, in this particular verse, there are three commands and three prohibitions. Three don'ts, three do's and three don'ts. Adal, Ihsan, Ita'i dhil Qurba. These are the three do's. Allah wants us to be just, to command justice, to make sure justice prevails. Allah wants us to do good deeds. And Allah commands us to be kind to our relatives. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْضِ. Allah does not want us to live a life of immorality, immodesty. Allah does not want us to indulge in munkar, things which are prohibited by sharia, things that Allah dislikes, things that Rasulullah dislikes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want us to transgress. It is a most comprehensive verse as far as commands and prohibitions are concerned. Aktham bin Sayfi radiallahu ta'ala an, before he embraced Islam, he heard about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a messenger who has come. So he sent two people because he himself was the leader of his tribe and people felt that he shouldn't go himself. But he sent two of his emissaries there and they go and they ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man anta? Wa ma anta? Who are you? What is your mission? And Rasulullah says, I am Muhammad bin Abdullah. Muhammad the son of Abdullah. With so much of humility. Who are you? Muhammad the son of Abdullah. What is your mission? Rasulullah narrated this verse. He related to them this verse. Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan wa ita'i dhil qurba. These two people learned this verse. They go back to Aktham bin Sayfi. Aktham bin Sayfi, the moment he hears this verse, immediately he realizes who Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, what his mission is, and that he is calling towards noble character. He is calling towards justice. And remember at the time, pre-Nubuwat, or before Islam came into Makkah and Medina, and the Arabian Peninsula, we know the oppression, transgression, the evil that prevailed. The moment Islam came, it brought justice. So Aktham bin Saif, he says, we should be forerunners in this mission. We should not lag behind. And he goes himself and he embraces Islam. And therefore, respected brothers and elders, justice, adal. In fact, adal, al-adal is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the 99 names, al-asma'ul husna, you will find al-adl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be just on all levels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates oppression. In the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu al-dhulma ala nafsi, wa ja'altuhu baynakum muharrama, fala tazalamu. O my servants, I have made oppression haram upon myself. And I've made it haram amongst you. Hence, do not oppress one another. So we find today in the world, on the global level, the atrocities that are committed. The tyrant rulers who have no mercy whatsoever. And they make lame excuses and they bombard innocent children, innocent people, innocent citizens. If they only understood that the success of any nation, or the foundation of the success of any nation, is when justice prevails. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah wants us to be just. Those people who have no mercy in their hearts, those tyrant rulers, those despots, who have been deprived of any type of mercy, and with a grin on their faces, they take great pleasure in killing innocent citizens, innocent people, they should understand the verse of the Quran. They should understand the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Allah la yum lil zalim. Allah gives respite to an oppressor. Allah gives him a chance. Allah lets him continue his oppression. Remember, Allah is not bound by any time. And the oppressor continues oppressing. Hatta idha akhadahu. Until when a time comes and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes the oppressor. Lam yuflitu. Allah will never let him escape. Rasulullah read the verse, وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْضُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمًا. And this is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seizes a nation that oppresses. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to be just. May Allah create justice and peace in the entire globe. Whenever there will be justice, there will be peace. Whenever there is injustice, whenever there is corruption, whenever there is oppression, there is zulam taking place, the crime rate naturally increases. There is fear. There is no peace, no tranquility, no serenity. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In one narration, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an, he mentions, أَكْثِرُوا ذِكْرَ Umar. He says, talk a lot about Umar. Talk about the great service that Umar has done to humanity, to Islam. Talk about the good things that Umar has done. Why? إِذَا ذَكَرْتُمْ Umar, ذَكَرْتُمْ الْعَدْلِ. When you talk about Umar, you will be talking about justice. Like somebody mentioned, إِذَا ذُكِرَ عُمَرْ ذُكِرَ الْعَدْلِ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الْعَدْلِ ذُكِرَ عُمَرْ. Umar and justice, synonymous. The moment you hear Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله تعالى, the very next thing that you think of, you attach to him, is justice. A Roman envoy comes to Medina Munawwara. It is the time of Umar ibn Khattab رضي الله, the golden era of Islam. And they have some work with him. And they do not know what Umar looks like. They inquire, where could we find the leader of the Muslims? Somebody very easily pointed out, if you go there under the tree, you will find the leader of the Muslims. Much to their amazement, they go. And they think perhaps under the tree, but he's got a whole army with him. He's got high level security. He's got bodyguards. What do they find? They find Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's fast asleep, sound asleep under a tree. And this Roman emperor, or the person who came in this envoy, the leader of this envoy, realized. He knew that there was peace in Madinah Munawwara. And he addressed Umar. He says, حَكَمْتَ فَعَدَلْتَ فَأَمِنْتَ فَنِمْتَ SubhanAllah. He says, you ruled. You ruled with justice. You caused peace, serenity, security to prevail. Hence you are able to sleep easily with comfort. A ruler who is unjust, believe me, he is not having a good sleep. And even if he's having a good sleep, then there will be a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize him. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has exhorted us in the hadith, that person or those people who inculcate justice and who command justice, and they establish justice in the world, on the day of Qiyamah, they will be on mimbars, on pulpits next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give them a very special place. They will have manabir, pulpits. Who? Al-muqsitin. Al-muqsitin, those who are just. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where seven persons have been mentioned who will be under the shade of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, when there will be no shade but the shade of Allah. سَبْعَةٌ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يُمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. The very first person has been mentioned, Imamun Adil, a just ruler. So this is on a global level. That a person who is a just ruler, he will find that his citizens will obey him, they will respect him. But when there's corruption, and when there's favoritism, when there's unfairness, when things are not distributed correctly and equally, then the natural consequence is that there will be crime. There will be uprisings, there will be riots, there will be protests. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I mentioned, wanted justice to prevail. And therefore he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are hundreds of examples that display his justice. Just a few. Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala. He's on the minbar. And he relates an incident of his own. He says, my father Bashir had given me a gift. So my mother was not happy just that I'm given a gift, but she wanted Rasulullah to authorize it, to sanction it, to witness the fact that my father has given me this gift. So he says, my father goes to Rasulullah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I wish you to be a witness that I have given my son Nu'man a gift. One riwayat, a piece of land. Rasulullah inquired of him, have you got other children? He says, yes. From another wife, he had other children. Have you given them equally? He says, no. Rasulullah says, then do not make me witness upon jawr zulam. Rasulullah questioned him. And Rasulullah says, would you not like that you are treated equally or fairly and shown love by all your children? He says, yes, why not? Then Rasulullah says, then why aren't you giving them equally? You are depriving the others. This is unfair distribution. And therefore, if you want anyone to be a witness, فَأَشْهِدْ غَيْرِي. Go make somebody else beside me. I'm not going to witness. I'm not going to sign on a deal which is full of zulam and oppression. Rasulullah enters a home or a place of a person, Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And Abu Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala at that very moment had become extremely angry with his servants. And he was busy beating them up. And suddenly he hears a voice behind him. Ya Aba Mas'ud. Allahu Akbaru Alayka Minka Alayhim. Allah has got more power over you than you have over them. The moment he turns around, he sees it is Rasulullah. And he realizes his mistake. He says, Wallahi Ya Rasulullah. I have freed them for the sake of Allah. I freed the slave, the servant of mine, huwa hurrun li wajhi Allah. Rasulullah says, had you not freed him, lalafahatka an-nar aw lamassatka an-nar. The fire of Jahannam would have burned you. If you did not free the slave of yours, because of this abuse, then the fire of Jahannam would have scorched you. It would have burned you. Another narration, another sahabi, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I've got slaves, I've got servants, and they lie to me, they cheat me, yakhununani, yakdibunani, wayasunani, they are disobedient to me. فَأَشْتِمُهُمْ وَأَضْرِبُهُمْ. Sometimes I shout at them, I rebuke them, I swear at them. What will be my position in the day of Qiyamah regarding them? Rasulullah explained, if you have beaten them to the extent equivalent to what wrongs they have done, well, there will be nothing against you and nothing in your favor. And if they have done more wrong and injustice to you, then you will get from their good deeds. However, if you have abused them more than what they really have deserved, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away all your good deeds and give it to them. This man goes onto the side and he begins to cry. Rasulullah understands why he is crying and then tells him, Ama taqra'u qawla Allah? Don't you read the verse of Allah? وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. That we will establish the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah. On this, he said, Ya Rasulullah, immediately I set them free. My respected brothers and elders, in the time of Hunayn, when the spoils of war were distributed, Allah Ta'ala had inspired or commanded Rasulullah to give certain people a little more. And there was some great wisdom in it. There were some who were just newly had accepted Islam, and Rasulullah wanted to bring them more closer to deen, and he wanted to show them the kindness of Islam. There were some Bedouins who Rasulullah, Aqra bin Habis, Uyayna bin Hassan, radiallahu anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu gave them more than the others. The others got their share, but he gave these people a little more. A man comes, and what does he say? Ya Rasulullah, هذه القسمة ما عدل فيها ما أريد بها وجه الله. With such audacity, and he comes to Rasulullah, he says, you know, you have distributed this spoils of war, you have been unfair, you have not sought the pleasure of Allah. Somebody tells us that, telling Rasulullah some that, what did he say? He says, فمن يعدل إذن إذا لم يعدل الله ورسوله. If Allah and His Rasul are not fair, who can be fair then? This is the fair distribution. So Rasulullah always exhorted fair distribution. He always exhorted, encouraged, commanded justice in Islam. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, his son Abdul Rahman bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala was with the army of Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala, who was the conqueror of Egypt. Fatih Misr. It's a very long story. One occasion, due to some Islamic offense, he needed to be punished. Who? The son of Umar ibn Khattab. And Umar ibn Khattab is Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's in Madinah Munawwara. Amr ibn As radiallahu ta'ala decided to punish him in privacy, not in public. The offense he committed, and the punishment of which was supposed to be in public so everybody sees and they take heed of it. Amr ibn As thought, this is the son of Amir al-Mu'mineen, let me just punish him in my own home. My respected brothers and elders, the news reaches Umar ibn al-Khattab. Now this is justice. Umar ibn al-Khattab, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he writes a letter to Amr ibn As in which he rebukes him severely. And if you look at the words that Umar ibn al-Khattab used, and the strength of the words, and the harshness, he writes to Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala that I had great hopes in you. And this is what you do? My son Abdul Rahman, فَإِنَّهُ مِنْ رَعِيَّةِ رَجُلٌ مِنْ رَعِيَّتِكَ. He's just an ordinary man in your army. You have been unfair. Unfair in which sense? That you have favored him. Had it been another person, you'd have punished him publicly. And my son, because he's Amir al-Mu'mineen's son, you let him go so easily, send him immediately to Madinah Munawwara, and I will flog him in public. Once the son of Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala has a race. He has a horse, and it's a race. Obviously, no gambling. And there are others who also run, who race their horses. It so happens that a slave, an ordinary slave, he wins the race. And Amr ibn al-As, his son, becomes extremely angry. So he goes up to this person and he gives him a slap. This person goes to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Amir al-Mu'mineen, I want justice. What happened? This is the story. He says, call him now. Bring him and his father. And then he gives him the whoop. And he says, now you take your revenge. This is justice. You punish him now. And this person takes the whoop and begins to punish him. Until when he was satisfied. Why? Because when the son of Amr ibn As, radiallahu ta'ala an, when he became so angry and he slapped this person, he said, Ana ibn al-Akramain, I am the son of noble people. You're a slave. He looked down upon him. Umar radiallahu gave him his justice. Meted out the justice. And he allowed the slave to punish him publicly. Then he tells him, now you take this whoop and begin to beat his father also. Whoop his father. Who? Amr ibn As, radiallahu ta'ala, sahabi of Rasulullah. He says, Ya Rasulullah, oh Umar, the father did no wrong to me. The son did wrong to me. And I have taken my revenge. And I have forgiven him. There are so many examples of this, showing the adalat, the adal of Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala. You know, once when he is going and he's patrolling the streets of Medina, those are true governors, true kings, true genuine presidents, who cared about the citizens. And he would go at night to see if any person was in some type of need. And he hears someone home, a child crying, an infant crying. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu had a very soft heart. And he tells the mother, why is the child crying? Keep the child quiet. And he comes back after a few hours and he finds the child still crying. He reprimands the mother that you have no mercy and you're letting this child cry. In other words, you should be feeding your child. She says, what must I do? Not knowing this is Amir al-Mu'mineen addressing her. When Amir al-Mu'mineen is unjust. He said, why? He says, he has fixed stipends for every child who is weaned off and no more suckled by the mother. Then Amir al-Mu'mineen has fixed an amount from Baytul Mal for every such child. So I am trying to quickly wean off my child, so I may also get some stipend for my child. Umar ibn Khattab goes home. It is time for Fajr Salah. He leads the Salah. Abdul Rahman bin Auf says, Wallah, we could not understand. And Umar ibn Khattab was reciting on that day, because he was crying profusely. We could not hear the verses he was reading. Umar was crying like a little baby. Umar, after Fajr Salah, turns around. He says, oh Umar! Addressing himself. Yabn al-Khattab, how many an infant you have killed because you did not fix a stipend for those little children who were still being breastfed by their mother. From today, even those children will be given an amount from Baytul Mal. Justice. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, after Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, after Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, the fourth Khalifa of Islam, son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He loses his armor in a battle. It is taken away by a Jew, a Yahud. This Yahudi knows this is the armor of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He usurps it. Ali radiallahu anhu is walking past and he sees this armor in the possession of this Jew. And immediately he claims his armor. The Jew says, no, it's in my possession, it's mine, not yours. So they take it to court. Qadi Shuraih radiallahu ta'an, a sahabi of Rasulullah sallam, is appointed by Ali radiallahu ta'an as the chief just judge in the time of Ali radiallahu ta'an. Ali is the radiallahu ta'an, is Amirul Mu'mineen. He's the president, he's the king. Qadi Shuraih is under him. Qadi Shuraih says, let us listen. What's the case? Ali radiallahu ta'an says, this is my armor. The Jew denies. So in Islamic law, al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i. The one who is claiming something, not in his possession, he has to produce some proof, some dalil, some evidence. He says, I've got evidence. Who's your evidence? He says, my son, my slave, and my son Hassan, radiallahu ta'ala. He says, your slave witnessing on your behalf, that's okay. I need two witnesses. Hassan, your son, cannot witness on your behalf. That is the Islamic ruling. Ali radiallahu anhu says, but Hassan, don't you know who is Hassan? The beloved grandson of beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The same Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, as he enters Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving a khutbah. Sahaba are all assembled. In the midst of the khutbah, he sees his grandson. Believe me, respected brothers and elders, he descends from the minbar. He goes forward to his grandson. He picks him up. He kisses him. He embraces his grandson. He hugs his grandson. He says, this is my Rayhana in Jannah. This is my fragrance of paradise. Shuraih, you're not going to accept. He says, I cannot. This is justice of Islam. Ali Radhan says, well then, I have no other witness. Case is closed. It is given in favor of the Jew. The Jew listens to this. He hears his verdict. He sees the justice of Islam. There and there he embraces Islam and he hands over the armor to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore when justice prevails, then you'll find there is no oppression. There is peace and harmony amongst the citizens. Ali radiallahu ta'ala is sent as a judge to Yemen by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's sent as a qadi. He says, Ya Rasul, inni hadithu sin. I'm a young boy, I don't know much about being a judge. How are you sending me? Rasul says, you go. Allahu sayahdi qalbak. Allah will guide your heart. Wa yuthabbitu lisanak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your tongue firm on haqq. And you will give the correct verdict. And Ali, listen very carefully. Whenever any matter comes to you, now this applies not only to a judge, but even you and I, when we are resolving matters, an alim, a mufti, a qadi, or sometimes some people come to us as family members for arbitration. Or you have got people look up to you, and there's some business problem, and people come to you to give a verdict, to pass a judgment. So he says, you listen to both sides of the story. Don't only listen to one side and give a verdict and give a ruling. This happens many times. The person does not listen to both sides. He's taken only the side of the husband, whatever he has mentioned. And he passes a fatwa. Or he's only listened to the woman. And he passes a fatwa, a verdict. When there are two parties, they have got disagreement, then the Shari'i ruling is that listen to both sides before you pass any judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, اِتَّقُوا الظُّلْمُ فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Fear oppression. Oppression will be the cause of darknesses on the day of Qiyamah. On the day of Qiyamah, when every person will be searching, seeking light and noor. Quran talks about in the 27th para, how the believers will be going and they'll have noor in front of them, guiding them, where there'll be only darkness. But oppression will be the main cause of darkness on the day of Qiyamah. Rasulullah says, اِتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. That fear, the dua, the curse of an oppressed person. Why? When an oppressed person raises his hand, her hand, then there is no barrier between the dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reaches Allah immediately. And therefore a poet says, لَا تَظْلِمَنَّ إِذَا مَا كُنْتَ مُقْتَدِرًا فَالظُّلْمُ آخِرُهُ يَأْتِيكَ بِالنَّدَمِ. He says, do not oppress. You may have the influence in society. You may be an affluent person. You may have the power and strength. You may be a very prominent person. So don't oppress others. Why? Oppression, the end result, the consequence of it, it brings only nadamat, regret and remorse. He says, Namat uyunuka.
Your eyes are closed at night. Perhaps you sound asleep. وَالْمَظْلُومُ مُنْتَبِهٌ But the oppressed person is wide awake. يَدْعُو عَلَيْكَ He's got his hands raised up. وَعَيْنُ اللَّهِ لَمْ تَنَمْ The Muslim is making dua. Ya Allah! Ya Allah! He has made zulm upon me. He has oppressed me. He's usurped my property. He's usurped my land. He's not given and distributed the inheritance correctly. He's given an unfair judgment. The judge has been unfair. The lawyer was unfair. The mufti was unfair. The imam was unfair. The husband was unfair. The wife was unfair. The ruler was unjust. فَالْمَظْلُومُ مُنْتَبِهِ He's making dua to Allah. وَعَيْنُ اللَّهِ لَمْ تَنَمْ The eyes of Allah never closes. Allah never sleeps. Allah is never overwhelmed by slumber or sleep. Allah is watching all the time. My respected brothers and elders, the time has already come to an end. I wish to discuss so many more incidents in the light of Quran and Hadith. I end off with an important point. Perhaps we may curse the despots and the tyrant rulers of the world. Zulam is not only done by a leader over his citizens. Zulam oppression is done upon our own selves. رَبَّنَا وَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا Allah, we have wronged ourselves. Quran says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَظْلِمَهُمْ وَلَكِنْ كَانُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ They have oppressed themselves. Rasulullah has taught Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, you know, the end of Tashahud, there's a masnoon dua. We should learn it and read it. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Wa fi riwayatin zulman kabira. Wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. Faghfir li maghfirata min indika warhamni innaka anta al-ghafur rahim. Wallah, the man is at salat. He's coming right to the end before salam. Wallah, I have wronged myself. What is the wrong we have done? Shortcomings in salat. But more than that, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا When we have not obeyed our Allah. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا Why? Because he did not appreciate those bounties of Jannat. He made a little mistake, an error in his path. On that he realized that he was sent into dunya. Allah, I have wronged myself. We have not been grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the ni'mat he has given us. And to be grateful, we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obeying Allah means we cannot oppress ourselves. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.